Mark chapter 4, if you'll be turning over there. Now we're going to be looking also in Mark 6 and John 6 and Matthew 14 and Acts 27. But we ain't going to read all that at one time, I promise you tonight. But Mark chapter 4, I'm going to ask you to stand tonight. We've preached many times over the years out of this passage of Scripture. And I want to preach having a thought tonight on surviving the storm, surviving the storm. How to survive the storm. Let's look. Mark chapter 4, look in verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And be seated tonight. Lord, we come before you tonight just asking for some help. We just need you to come by and help us while we preach. We cannot preach without you, and so we pray that you'd touch and anoint us afresh. Lord, I pray that you would just help somebody here tonight that may be going through a storm. I may be in a storm tonight, Lord, and they might be coming out of it or going into it. But you know the need of each one sitting here tonight. Maybe somebody that's lost that does not know you. I pray they'd get saved. Lord, we do thank you tonight for the singing. We pray that it uplifted your name, brought glory and honor to you. And Lord, we just want you to be honored in everything we do. And Lord, we just want you to have the glory out of this service tonight. Again, I ask for some help. We thank you for it. Save that sinner's nearest tale. For all this in Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. When we look at this scripture, as Jesus has told them, they'll go to the other side. And they get in the boat and they get ready to go, and they are headed to the other side. They end up in a storm. I'm not sure that they looked for a storm. I'm not sure that they thought the storm was coming, but I do know on the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Gennesaret, I do know that they would blow up, and that in just a matter of minutes that a storm can blow up, and that on the Sea of Galilee. And when you look in Mark 4 and Mark 6 and John 6 and Acts 27 and Matthew 14, they all have one thing in common, and that's dealing with a storm. A storm is defined as a violent wind or a tempest. It said properly, rushing or violence. So when we think about a storm physically, we know what it is. And a lot of times we categorize something that has thunder and lightning in it as a storm. And I guess we can do that. But in the Bible, when he talks about a storm, he's talking about a storm of wind. Now, whether it's got rain or not with it, that don't matter. But when it has the wind, it becomes very dangerous and very destructive. And so storms in our lives, we view them as being dangerous and destructive. It also went on to say that it is a place of affliction or distress or calamity or adversity. And I think anybody sitting in here tonight that has been saved any at all or has lived any at all understands storms. The psalmist said in Psalms chapter 55, let me get over here, Psalms chapter 55, David said this. He said, Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn and I complain and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Boy, you ever been there? Listen to me tonight. Have you ever been to a place to where you just wish you could fly away and get away from all of it? I've been there. I mean, you just want to run and hide and get away from all the pressure, get away from all the problems, get away from everything that is compounding down on top of you. If you could just get away from it, you'd be better. Verse 7, he said, lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. Boy, don't you just want to go hide in the woods sometimes? I would hasten, verse 8, my escape from the windy storm and tempest. And David said, if I could hurriedly get away from this thing, I would. Now, as Christians, we're going to face storms in our life. They're just going to show up. And we're going to have to figure out by the help of God and His Word and how to survive them when they come, because if not, they'll destroy us. I've watched too many face storms and let it destroy them. I let it destroy them mentally, let it destroy them spiritually, and it works on them physically. I'm going to tell you, spiritual battles works on you physically. It will. Amen. And it'll work on you mentally. But I want to look at this here real quick tonight, and God help us on how to survive the storm. First of all, number one, I want you to look in here and see the effect that the storm has. Now, notice what it said right here. What did he say right here in verse 35? He said, let us pass over unto the other side. You know what the storm, the effect that it has on us sometimes? We tend to forget what the Lord said. We tend in the middle of the storm to forget the promises of God and forget what He's told us in His Word. We forget that. The very first thing He told them was, let us pass over unto the other side. Going to go. That boat's got to go to the other side. Whether they think they're going to get there or not, that boat's going to get there. I mean, he said, we're passing over to the other side. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, me and you need to remember what Jesus has promised. He'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. My daily Bible reading for today was in the book of Isaiah chapter 49, where the Lord told Israel, he said, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. He said, thy walls are continually before me. Listen, I believe tonight, friend, that God knows us, sees us, wants to take care of us. We just have a tendency to forget what He's promised. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, when we forget what He's promised, we tend to get fearful and we tend to get worrisome and we tend to wring our hands and wonder what's going to happen. Listen, we tend to forget that He's on board. Notice right here in this storm, what did the Bible say? It said, and He was in the hinder part of the ship. He was there. The Lord was on board that boat. You think that boat was going to go down with the Lord on board? You think that boat could sink? You think that the storm was going to be so drastic that with the Lord on board that it was going to sink? There ain't no way. There ain't no way. We tend to forget that sometimes, friend, that He's not going to let us sink if we'll just call out on Him. In Matthew chapter 14, Peter, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but we find the one where the Lord comes walking to him on the water. They're in the middle of that storm, and the Lord comes walking to him on the water. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And he said, come. So Peter jumped out of the boat, and there he goes. And the Bible said that when he saw the winds boisterous, the wind blowing and the waves boisterous, it said he became afraid and began to sink, and he had to cry out, Lord, save me. Sometimes we get fearful in the midst of the storm. Peter, he got fearful in it. It affects us. It affects us a lot of times in the wrong way. We tend to forget some things. We tend to forget that he's on board. We tend to forget what he's promised. We tend to forget just these scriptures right here that he's brought them through every bit of it. Tend to forget that stuff. His power, we tend to forget. Take your Bible and go over to Mark chapter 6. Look in verse 38. He is feeding the 5,000. And he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. Now, it would be a miracle in itself if they all just got to take a little part with 5,000 men plus the women and children, the scripture tells us at one point. That would have been a miracle in itself, but they ate till they were filled. In other words, they weren't hungry no more. And verse 43, the Bible said, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Well, what's that got to do with the storm? Stay with me. We tend to forget what the Lord's done. He's fed the 5,000 and they've got 12 baskets. What do you reckon them 12 baskets are? What do you reckon happened to them 12 baskets? Now I can preach between the lines and surmise a lot on this thing here. But to be honest with you, there's 12 disciples and I've got a feeling that each of them got a basket. So notice what the Bible said in verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and he alone on the land. And he saw them tulling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. If you read that story in John 6, it tells us that there was a great wind that blew. And them boys rowed all night long. I mean, he put them in the boat at eventime, and he comes walking to them. Listen to me now. He comes walking to them on the fourth watch of the night. That's between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. In the darkest part of the night is when he comes. But where's them 12 baskets at? Reckon where they're at. Reckon what they've done with them. Is it in the boat with them? Reckon they're having to stumble around over 12 baskets of what he's done, just a few hours ago, and feeding 5,000 men plus the women and the children. And I don't really know if they're in the boat or not, but I've got a sneaking suspicion they were. And they're stumbling all over them baskets, all over the miracle that he just done in the midst of a storm. If you go on over here and read in verse 51, after he come by and said, be of good cheer, desire, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They didn't remember what he just did. In the midst of the storm, you know what? We have a tendency to forget what he's done for us already. Y'all with me tonight? Y'all understand what I'm trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you, you've got to look back sometimes to realize what the Lord has done for you. You've got to look back and realize that he brought you through this storm right here. He helped you through this. He answered right here. He done this when nobody else could help. Why would he not help you in the middle of the storm now? Why would he desert you now? Why would he forget you now? Why would he quit loving you now? We have a tendency to forget some things. We think he does not care. You go back to Mark chapter 4. What did his disciples ask him over there in verse 38? Master, carest thou not that we perish? I mean, they're saying, Lord, do you not care that this storm is going to beat us to death? Do you not care that we're all about to drown? Do you not care that the ship is full? It's getting beat to death. Do you not care? Have you not ever looked up to heaven and asked God that? I have. I've asked him, I said, Lord, are you not watching what's going to, do you not see what's happening right? Do you not see what I'm going through? Do you not see my struggles? They run over there to Jesus in that ship. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Do you not care that this thing is going to kill us? We think he does not care. How could the Lord see what's going on? I want to show you something. Some of y'all heard me preach on this. Some of you have not. Look in Mark chapter 6. We're back to the other storm. Mark chapter 6. Look in verse 47. And then we'll go to John 6 because I want you to see it. Mark 6 verse 47. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on land, and he saw them toiling and rowing. Now take your Bible and go to John 6. I remember the first time I ever seen this. Boy, you're talking about a blessing. My soul, it helped me. John 6. I believe I preached it everywhere anybody else would have me after I saw it. Man, I'm telling you, I loved it. John 6, look in verse 16. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea. It's even time, it's not dark yet. And entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark. Now it's got dark. Them boys is headed out. It's got dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. Now, stay with me. Verse 48 of Mark 6 said, or verse 47 said, he was alone on the land. And in verse 48, he saw them toiling and rowing. You come to John, the Bible tells us it was now dark. It was dark. They had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs. How far is that? That's 3.25 to 3.5 miles. So they're halfway out in the Sea of Galilee, basically. It's dark, and Jesus is alone on the land, and they're in the sea. And yet the Bible said he saw them toiling and rowing. How'd he do that? How did the Lord see them toiling and rowing? How does he see us? He's watching. He's in a place that friend, he always sees us. He never takes his eye off you. Listen, if he sees the sparrow fall out of the air, he says, how much more important are you? I mean, he sees exactly what's going on in your life. We don't think God can see. We don't think God's paying attention. But Jesus was sitting alone on the land, and I honestly believe it was dark. I honestly believe they were halfway out in the middle of the sea, and by the physical line, there was no way. But friend, he could look out there, and him being him, he could see him. And that's why he sees you in the midst of your storm. We sometimes, and I'm talking about the effect of the storm. We sometimes feel like there is no hope. You know, when you go to Acts chapter 27, and Paul is caught in that storm, in a storm not of his own making. As a matter of fact, he tried to get them not to go, but here he is. You know what the Bible said in verse 20? And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. That's a bad place to be. That's a bad storm to be in. That's a bad place to be at when all our hope is taken away. It's going to beat us to death. We're going to go under. We're going to sink for sure. I want you to listen to me tonight. I want you to get a hold of this, because whether you're going through a storm tonight or not, you're probably going to get there one day. And you think all hope, you think all hope's going to be done away with. You know what? I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know what happened next when Paul said that all hope that we should be saved was taken away? You know, the very next verse, he said, you know, after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, have not loosed from Crete, to have gained this harm and loss. I told you so. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I have served, saying, Fear not, Paul." He said, "Listen. We've been here." If you're going over and you're reading that scripture, it's probably been about 14 nights, the Bible said. I mean, this thing has, when they've been caught by Euroclodon, which is a great big storm, a wind storm. Don't know if it's a hurricane, don't know, but it was a storm that caught that ship. And this thing's been going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Could you imagine being on a ship for 14 days and 14 nights. And really he calls it 14 nights. Why? Because they ain't had no day. They had no day. The sun ain't shine. The stars ain't shine. They ain't had nothing. That's how it is sometimes with us. The effect that it has on us is it's a dark time. It's a worrisome time. The sun ain't shining. It ain't helping. And it just seems like it's never going to end. Never. The effect it has on us, it takes away our hope. I thought about this evening. You know when you get sick and you feel bad? You know, if you get sick and you're only sick for a day or two, it ain't so bad. But boy, by the time you have to go to bed that second night and you're still sick and you ain't no better, and maybe worse, you don't think you're ever going to get better. I'm going to be sick the rest of my life. That's what it feels like. But there's adversity in the storm. That's why it worries us so much, because it blows contrary to us. John 6 said, "And the sea arose by great risen of a great wind that blew." Acts 27:14, Paul talks about that storm, said that it was a tempestuous wind called a Euroclodon, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. It catches us, don't it? It's caught. It's called our little boat, and won't turn it loose. I want you to take your Bible and go to Psalms 107. Look in verse 23. He said, "Preacher, people don't go through storms like what I've been through." No, the thing about it is you probably just don't know what folks have been through. Some folks got a good way of hiding and masking what they're dealing with. Some folks won't tell you what they're dealing with. Psalms 120. Here's what I've learned over the years is people go through storms. And they may come on to church and put a smile on their face, and you'll never know no different. But down on the inside, they're scared to death. Down on the inside, they're worried about what they're facing. Look in Psalms 107, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. I'd say so. I mean, when you're in the middle of the sea and that boat's up, and then the water falls out of it and it falls straight back down. I mean, it's up and down, up and down. He said their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. You know what that means? They don't know what to do. They've done everything they know to do, but they don't know nothing else to do. There's nothing else to do. There's nothing else that can be done. I mean, the boat is up and down, and Paul talks about in Acts 27, he said that storm got so bad that boat, they thought that boat was going to come apart, and so they helped it, they undergirded it, and that with helps. In other words, they strung a rope from one side and got it up under and jerked it up on the other side just to hold that thing together. Thank God for the rope. Because some of you would have never made it had it not been for the help that the Lord gave. In Mark chapter 6, you'll find that it got dark in the storm. I think that is one of the most scariest parts of the storm, is it knocks out the sunshine. The big black cloud blows up. And then the sun's gone. You can't see. The lightning and the thunder. You know, lightning probably wouldn't be near as bad if the storm didn't get dark. And especially when the storm is at nighttime, it's a whole lot worse, ain't it? You know, Paul said, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, man, that'd be bad, wouldn't it? I mean, think about that. It would be bad now today if you had to ride out a hurricane in one of our modern day ships and one of our modern day carriers. I would not want to do that. I would not want to ride a storm out on the open sea in one of the cargo carriers. I wouldn't want to do that. But could you imagine trying to last in a wooden ship out on the Mediterranean Sea over there? And it's dark. Thunder and lightning. I'm talking about adversity in the storm. You know what it tends to do? It tends to make us fearful, don't it, and scare us. And then Satan uses that against us. Our flesh works against us, and it worries itself to death. We get at our what? At our wit's end. We don't know what to do. We're up and down and sideways. You know, that's why the Bible said in 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all you care upon Him, for He careth for you. He said, well, preacher, I've done that, and I'm still in the storm. Go ahead and tell Him again. Tell Him tomorrow, too. And tell Him tomorrow evening, and tell Him the next morning and the next evening. Just go ahead and keep telling Him. Because He hears. He knows. But you know what the Lord done? Number three. In Mark chapter 4, you find the answer of the Savior. They went to Him, and you know what He did? After they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. He settled it right there. You know, sometimes the Lord does that, don't He? He just settles that thing. It's over with. Steps out on the bow of the boat. And you know what happened? The Bible said, and the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Don't you love it when it's like that? When things get settled. You don't know how you're going to have to survive your storm. You're going to have to go talk to Him. You're going to have to continue to talk to Him.
He may, listen, when that storm starts and you get in the middle of that thing, he may stop it right there. It's over with. Don't you like it when it's like that? I like a quick storm. I like it when it blows through and done and gone. But I don't like them ones that last. But sometimes they do. But I want you to look what he asked his disciples over here. When he said, peace, be still. You know the next thing he said to them? He asked them, he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why couldn't you trust me? Why couldn't you depend on me? Why couldn't you just rest in the very fact that I'm on board and I'm going to see you through all of this? You know, in Mark 6 and John 6, he shows up, don't he? Well, what's so important about that? He showed up. He came in a way that there was no way to get to them boys. He come walking on the water. He made a way to get to them. I mean, think about that. The Bible said they were toiling and rowing. They could not bring that boat to shore because of the storm that was against them. So you know what Jesus done? He just went to them. He did not get in a boat and row his own self out there. He did not hire a boat and let somebody take him out there. He just stepped out on the water and started walking toward them. Wouldn't that have been a sight to see? I mean, he made a way to get to them to where they wouldn't be by themselves. We think sometimes that the Lord can't show up, won't show up. It's impossible for him to fix what we're in right now, but he can make a way when there is no way. I mean, you reckon them boys had ever thought that the Lord can come walking on the water? I mean, you reckon they would have thought that? I mean, you come over to Matthew, is it Matthew 14? Yeah, I believe it is. Matthew 14. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. I'm not sure what they were more afraid of, the spirit that they presumed that he was, or the storm. But let me say this also. Now we can talk about the spiritual realm, how things was during this time. We can talk about that later. But sometimes you get irrational in the middle of a storm. They weren't sure what they were seeing. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Ain't you glad the Lord makes a way to get to us just to be able to speak to us, to settle our heart? And Peter answered him, saying, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. You know, that would have been a trick too. He had to get Peter back in the boat. He had to drag him on top of the water. That had to have been something to see. He'll show up when there's no other way. He'll make a way. Notice what he told them. In Mark 6, he said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. In the middle of the storm, he said, be of good cheer. Why? It is I. Amen. He come to help. When nobody else can, when nobody else has the ability, he said, it's I. You have no reason to be afraid. You should have cheer even in the midst of your storm. What was it Paul told them in Acts 27?
After he told them, after he said, I told you so, he said, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Why? But they're still in a mess. They're still on a boat in a storm with no way off of it. But Paul's over here saying, be of good cheer. Why? For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, here it is again, be of good cheer. For I believe God. You know what I mean? You can have cheer when you believe God. We can just trust God. You come down in the latter part of the chapter in verse 35, and when he had spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when they had broken, he began to eat. Then were they all of what? Good cheer. They're still in a storm, but they're of good cheer. We may be in the middle of a storm, but we can have good cheer about that thing. Now, it's a little hard sometimes, but he said, fear not. He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to bring you through every bit of it. This may not mean nothing to you tonight, but I'll guarantee you there's coming a day that I hope all this rings in your mind and in your heart, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. Because you're probably going to get up against something. You're going to get up into a storm that you're not going to know how to get out of. And it's going to beat you to death. Psalms 107 in verse 28. The verse right after when it said they were at their wits' ends. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them to their desired haven. The Lord will get you there. He'll get you there eventually. Some of you are sitting in here know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been through the storms a lot, been through more than one. And when you was in the middle of it, you wasn't sure you was going to get out of it. You didn't know if you was coming out of it or not. You didn't know if you were going to get out of that place of discouragement. You didn't know if you was going to get out of depression. You just didn't know what was going to happen. He's in the middle of a storm. It was dark, and boy, it didn't sound good, and it didn't look good. But you know what you do? You just keep trusting the Lord, having faith, keep crying out to Him. He hears, and He sees. Let's bow our heads tonight.